The views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, and welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for joining me this morning and our experts here on the panel at News Radio 92.3. We'll be here till 11, so get your questions in for our expert till 10:30. And then we have another one coming up at 10:30 as well. The number here is 850-437-1620. That's 437-1620. Feel free to also call. Tina is waiting at the front desk to help get you through to our expert. So our next expert up, if you heard our little disclaimer at the top of our show, then you probably are getting more familiar with our friend Wesley Odom. So Wesley is a native of Pensacola, really cool, a graduate of Vanderbilt University, former naval officer, love it, financial advisor for over 30 years. So just a little bit of experience, not too much.
Just a little.
Oh, just a whole person of experience. And owner of Armada Advisors and a registered investment advisory firm. They're a registered investment advisory firm here in Pensacola, actually in our historic downtown area. To be exact, a really beautiful area to walk in. Even if you just want to walk by the office, it's so pretty over there. And then, of course, they use the custodian services of Fidelity Investments. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a beautiful day outside. It reminds us it's still spring.
We still live in Northwest Florida, where we do not have snowstorms and blizzards.
Amen to that.
Hitting us right now, or hopefully ever.
That's right.
So we're safe from that. And then Wesley can probably walk us through feeling a little bit safer in our investments, which I know, Wesley, if you've watched the news at all, which I'm sure you have to keep up on things in your field of work. So do I in the news, just so you know. But of course, the past couple of days of work, we've been talking a lot about Silicon Valley Bank, that collapse, a lot of frustration with bankers, and then people just in general being nervous. Can we trust investments? Can we trust where our money is going? Can we trust people who, you know, are giving us that advice? So really, how do you feel, or what do you see right now with all of that happening?
Well, if you maintain less than $250,000 in a bank or a credit union, then your deposits are going to be okay.
Okay.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean if you're a business that you need to think about what would you do? Well, you do need to think about that because, you know, if you're doing business with, let's say you're a business and you're doing business with a small bank or regional bank, and, you know, you have your business checking there and you have, you know, $500,000 in there, you let regularly deposit or whatever and use payroll and whatnot, you might want to think about revisiting the situation to go to a bigger bank, you know, one of the big six. And the reason is because, you know, the big six are required to have stress tests. And these smaller, middle-sized banks are not. As a matter of fact, last week there was a congressional testimony of Jerome Powell, who's the Fed chairman. And one of the congressmen asked him, I forget his name, but he asked him, he says, you know, is there any way you can do away with a stress test, or not the stress test, excuse me, the mark to the market that is that all small banks and middle-sized banks are required to do because it's killing them? I mean, this is almost like a harbinger of how bad it is when the congressman is asking the Fed chairman this. Of course, he said he's not going to change the rules, wasn't going to change the rules. And then not more than a week later, boom, we have SVP blow up. And we have another bank out in New York blow up. And so anyway, it's you're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. This is the congressman just asked them this question. And that's primarily what happened with both these banks. You know, banks have to have all as part of the business bank accept deposits. They invest in U.S. government securities and mortgages, and they make loans. They're supposed to maintain more assets than liabilities and report this information. They have to report them every month, actually. The bigger banks often will hedge their assets, which is a fancy term for, we'll just call it insure. But okay. Basically, it's to guard against a sudden loss in the portfolio, so they remain solvent all the time, so that their portfolio doesn't negatively affect their overall assets. Okay, that's what big banks do. Well, smaller banks don't hedge. SVP didn't hedge. This bank in New York didn't hedge. They did not have that insurance, so to speak, to secure those balance, the portfolio. So, you know, years ago, you had these banks. When I say years, I'm saying 2 years ago. You had the bank, like SVP, for example, bought a mortgage portfolio, and the mortgage portfolio paid 1% for 30 years. Well, do you think that people want to buy a mortgage portfolio now with 1% for 30 years? No, because you could buy a mortgage portfolio at 6 or 7% for 30 years maybe right now, okay? So why would they want to buy the 1% portfolio? They wouldn't. And so as a result, the assets of the bank were less than the equity they had in the bank. So it was like, I think it was a $17 billion loss, and their equity was only $16 billion. And so if you say 17 minus 16, you know, that's $1 billion to the negative. So that means you're insolvent. And that's when the door's closed. So, you know, it's very important to do this. And so as a result of what happened, the Federal Reserve has changed yesterday. They changed the rules for banks, small, medium-sized banks, telling them that for the next year, they're going to give a pass and allow their investment portfolio to be valued not at mark to the market, although they still have to report that, but they will be able to take loans on the first full face value of what they originally bought these bonds for, which is par value, which is like, you know, $1,000. So let's make it simple. Let's say you buy a car for $50,000, okay? And we all know that over time the car is going to lose value, okay? Now the car is worth $30,000, and all of a sudden the bank comes in and says, hey, for the next year, I'm going to loan you money on your car, what you bought it for, $50,000. You're going to look at them and going to say, I love this. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Right.
That's a good deal because I know it's worth $30,000, but you're going to loan me money on the $50,000. Well, that's what the Fed's going to do for the next year for these small, middle-sized banks that are having problems, just like the congressman said to the Fed chairman. He says, you know, we've got problems in Dodge City. You know, we want you to solve the problem. So this is kind of like basically telling the cancer patient, we're going to do chemo, but you're probably going to die in a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that all of them are going to fail, because the smart banks, if I were a bank right now, a small bank, I would try to unload this stuff as quickly as I possibly could. The investments that I've already got losses in, perhaps, to the Fed. And I would also try to hedge the portfolio to some extent so I wouldn't have to lose money. So I would make sure that we were in business for the next year. But some guys might not get the message. I mean, they're always out there. So anyway, it's a very interesting situation. It basically is a quantitative easing to some extent. It is injecting money into the banking system, allowing these banks to have another, who are having problems, another year. But it also tells people who have money in these banks, it says, especially bigger players, i.e. the guys who have their, you know, the local business that has all their payroll running through the local bank, it tells them, hey, listen, you've got a year to find a home. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to be thinking about. You've got a year to find a home if you have over $250,000 in these banks, so you can be in a more stable environment. And I'm not an advertisement for the big banks. I mean, I think they have their pros and cons. I mean, pros are they're not going to go out of business. The JP Morgan's of the world, the Bank of America's of the world, they're not going to go out of business. So anyway, but it's certainly a situation. And in essence, the Fed is kicking the can down the road to some extent by allowing these banks to, you know, have access to credit really against a security that of which there's not a value for, you know, not that much value anyway. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, I think, but it's good to have that breakdown from you though. So I appreciate that.
Sure.
Hey, 850-437-1620 here on Pep Talk. I'm Jenna Barr, sitting down with Wesley Odom from Armada Advisors. He is the president of Armada Advisors. If you'd like to ask him a question, somebody had asked here, let me pull it back up. Right now, taking a look at the stock market is it really the best to invest in mostly tech companies? That's the question.
I think in anything, you have to be subjective about what you're buying, because you know, that's just like saying, well, all Italians are bad people. You would never say that. You know, you would never say that. Are all tech companies good necessarily? I can think of some I wouldn't want to invest in. Mm-hmm. What I would want to do is I'd want to say, okay, well, if it's a tech mutual fund, what are they buying? And you know, if they're buying things that I really like and think you're going to really have, you know, chances of appreciation in the next 12 months or 18, 20 months, 4 months, I'd certainly buy it. It was a good deal. And I think that actually what this whole crisis has done is, and when I talk about the crisis, the making crisis, it's really set up the stage for a stock market. And I said this in a video. I went out with a video yesterday. You can go to our website and probably pull it up and look at it. And Armand Advisors, it talks about the banking situation and talks about how good it is for equities. And now the market, I think it's up like 300 points, maybe or something like that right now. I don't know. Something, it was up higher when I left the office. But this is good for the stock market because in essence, it says the Federal Reserve is not raising interest rates dramatically over the next year. Because why? Because if they did, they're going to kill some of these smaller banks. They don't want to kill the banks. So realistically, you're talking about a Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates maybe by quarter, once in a while maybe, assuming that inflation can't get under control. So that's good news for stocks. So if you want to be in tech stocks, it's a really good time to think about certain tech stocks. It's a good investment. I think you can make some money. I really do. I think this is a great opportunity. Before this whole crisis started to develop, the stock market, I was telling my clients was still in a bull market because we broke a resistance line that had been established way back from January 1st of 2021 all the way down. There's a resistance line that had developed. I'm getting really technical here with it. But anyway, it was at the very beginnings of a potential bull market. And I think what has happened right now is we've made it risk assets like stocks are very, very attractive. And also they're very attractive short-term CDs and short-term bonds. Just before I came over here, I bought a one-month CD, 5.8%, FDIC insured. This is a wonderful deal. So, you know, you don't want to go over $250,000 in that investment, but for 1 month, 5.8%, that's a good deal. So, you know, you got to look at the situation right now. If you're going to buy a car in 6 months, you obviously want to buy some short-term CDs, maybe a corporate bond. There's some good yielding of those over 5%. So, I mean, you know, there's a good opportunity right now with what's happened. And that's one thing about the market. There's always something around. You just have to look for it and figure out what's good deal.
Okay. That leads me into this next question. You can leave them in our text line here, 850-437-1620, or we have a little over 10 minutes left with Wesley. So feel free to call too if you want to talk it out. That's really fun as well. But let me get to a couple here in the text line. Let's see. What is the first thing you look for personally when you are looking at investing or purchasing stock?
Are they making money?
Are they making money? Yeah. Very simple, Wesley.
I mean, really, because I mean, there's so many companies that that you could look at that don't make money. And you're like, why would I want to invest in this? You know, it's just too scary and the risk is too great. So to me, you have to be making money. And I look at their balance sheet. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I look at their balance sheet. Are they making money? And then also, what's their outlook? You know, who's managing who's the CEO? What's their game plan? Do they have a good, you know, thesis behind them?
Okay.
You know, I mean, is it a good place to be right now?
So really,
is it undervalued? I think you have to do that. I mean, you have to do that. You don't want to be in a fad. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who want to get into Bitcoin. You know, how do you value Bitcoin? It's based on imagination. I mean, you know, I read so many research reports about how Bitcoin was just a wonderful deal. And I was like, well, based on what? I mean, you know, it was like in the make-believe world. But I guess you can justify anything. But I think realistically, what I like to do is I like to look at 10 years worth of earnings. I look at, you know, where they have been, the company, how's it traded in the last 10 years, and figure out, okay, it, relatively speaking, is this is a good time to enter the stock from a risk standpoint? Or a risky time.
Okay. I like it. A couple more questions here in our text line at 437-1620 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm Jenna Barr with Wesley Odom from Armada Advisors. He's here to answer your questions, so make sure you drop them into our text line before we get to a little bit more of our talk topics. Is Fidelity and is UMB Bank in the larger group of banks, are they possibly safer ones?
Well, you know, Fidelity uses a lot of UMB because they use some of their services, definitely. So they're definitely tied in with them.
Okay.
Are they safe? I think that UMB is definitely big enough that it, and Fidelity does a very good job screening out candidates with whom it does business. So I have no doubt that that would be a good place to be. Fidelity is one of the largest asset managers in the world. They are the largest like retirement plan asset manager in the world. Mm-hmm. And when I left Smith Barney in 2009, whatever, I said, you know, where is a good place to go? And Fidelity to me was the ultimate custodian because they are the biggest and they have a platform that allows me to invest from an institutional standpoint for clients. So like if you decide to go to Fidelity Direct, you can't see the bond yields that I can see because I get to shop institutionally from that standpoint. And I've even had, talked to their desk sometime. And he says, well, why would you want to buy that, sir? I said, well, because, he says, that's right, you're on the institutional platform because I get different pricing. So that works out well. So I want to pass those savings on to those clients.
Okay, that makes sense. I like it. I'm going to have all this information up on our website here shortly at newsradio923.com. Let me get to another question before or we can get to all the questions if you keep dropping them in our text line. You're keeping me busy back here. Thank you. I love it this morning. Here it is. Let me pop back on over here. Is it true that trading too often can cause an issue in your portfolio?
Yes, your CPA is going to hate you, number one. Okay.
<I'm> sorry.
I mean, seriously, I remember one time I got a long time ago, there was this, someone said, your broker's doing too many trades. And it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, because they just, it was just funny. Yes, it can create capital gains, And, someone told me one time recently, says, well, if the stocks goes down, why don't you sell it? That's what the big guys do. And I said, whoa. No, they don't necessarily do that. I know lots of big time portfolio managers, have conversations with them. I've seen their portfolios. I've looked at, monitored them over years and they don't. I mean, just because it goes down 10%, 20%, they'll say, oh, I'm out of this sucker. No, I mean, you have to look at why is it down? Has the thesis changed? And I said this in a program earlier. In 2019, 2020, Exxon went down from 83 down to 31, and it was a 62% drop. I had people come in my office saying, we want to get at Exxon. I said, no, it's a great company. Don't worry about it. Now it's like over, I think, 110 or something like that. Uh-huh. So it's going from 31 to 110, still pays the dividend, Amazon is down.
So it's panic.
It's panic, It's panic. And Amazon's down like 40-some-odd% over the last year. Okay.
Right.
And why? Well, they built out a lot of distribution centers. Well, is that a bad thing?
No,
they're trying to be more efficient, trying to get you more goodies quicker, right?
It's true.
What they do, they laid off like thousands of people recently. They decided to do that. Why? Because they're trying to get more efficient. They're trying to cut their costs, trying to get that stock price back up. I like it when companies are trying to think, what can we do to add value? And if you're buying a good company, like I bought Amazon way back for a lot of clients and myself, and it's a low cost basis, and it went down. I'm still up like 250, 300%. You think it's going out of business? No, it's going to come back in line.
Right.
Home Depot's down 20-some-odd% over the last year. But they raised their dividend since then. You think companies that go out of business raise their dividend? No.
No. That's really wise. Okay.
You got to look at the thesis, The timing might be bad temporarily. Are they going to come back? Are they going to make money over time? Absolutely. And that's what when you buy an individual stock, or even a portfolio manager does this too. When they buy a stock, they say, by owning this, I think they're going to make more money over time than the average company in the S&P 500. So there's 500 companies in the S&P 500. If you're owning one that's consistently making more money over time, theoretically, that stock ought to be more valuable at the end of 5 or 10 year time period than the company that's just ho-humming along.
Right. That makes sense. All right. I like it. Hey, let's move on to another question. I want to backtrack a little bit. You can find Armada Advisors online, armadaadvisors.com, located in downtown Pensacola. Beautiful North Spring Street. That's 610 North Spring Street. You can call anytime, 850-497-6167. Again, armadaadvisors.com. We have Wesley Odom joining us this morning here on Pep Talk. So we were talking a little bit before about, what makes up Armada Advisors. So this kind of this question from our listener brings us back to our talk topics and your fee for service.
Yes.
Right. So actually somebody texted in, what's your fee schedule and how does Armada make money? Which is excellent. They're keeping us on track. Okay.
That's good. We don't charge commissions, number one. So what that means to you is, you know, when you buy a mutual fund, it's all no load in, no load out. You buy individual stock, there's no commission for that. So what we do is we charge a fee based upon what kind of assets you have. So in other words, if you're a more aggressive portfolio, again, it depends on how big the portfolio is. If we're talking about less than $1 million portfolio, you're on individual stocks per year, you might pay up to 1.5%. And for mutual funds, you might pay, you know, anywhere from 0.95 to 0.75. I'm kind of using rough numbers here per year. And then for bond mutual funds, no, not bond mutual fund, bond individual bonds, you would have like 0.5%. So, you know, in essence, if you had $100,000, you'd pay $500 a year if you had a bond portfolio, you know, roughly. You know, if you had a stock portfolio that was all 100% stocks, you'd probably pay, you know, up to $1,500 max, you know. So I mean, that's just the idea of how we run it. And what this allows us to do is to allow us to put on the same side of the table as you are. So in essence, that means that if your portfolio makes more money, we make more money. If it goes down, we make less money. So obviously, we want to try to make you money. We then have to pay Fidelity from that cut. So if we do trades in your portfolio, we have to go out and pay of that $1,000 or $700 or $500, whatever. We're paying Fidelity their cut, and then we keep it the rest.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for clarifying that. And of course, if you would like to contact Armada Advisors, 850-497-6167, or text in, you have about 2 minutes left to squeeze in a question with Wesley at 850-437-1620 here at News Radio 92.3 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. A couple more questions here for you. Your opinion, should we buy, sell, or hold NVIDIA?
I love NVIDIA.
Was it Trevor who
Trevor shared, we've been buying NVIDIA for a while, and NVIDIA is more aggressive for a more aggressive client, but you got to look at what the company is doing. The company has revolutionized the chip industry and is revolutionizing the chip industry. They have one chip, for example, that you can call up someone on the phone and you can program it. Says on the other end, let's say you're speaking to someone in Spanish and you don't know Spanish, it will come out the other end like you're fluent in Spanish. So the person will, and then that Spanish person can talk to you, and in real time, it'll translate into English. I mean, absolutely amazing. They have another chip that does it the same kind of thing with videos, and I've seen it work.
Wow.
They have another chip they're developing. It's going to be starting to put in the new Mercedes-Benz in this coming year. It's going to be auto drive on highways.
Oh boy.
And then in 2 years later, the 2026 model, the new chip beyond that is supposed to be the 2026 is going to be 2.5 times more efficient or safer than the first chip. Now, why would you want to buy the 24 if you're going to get a 26 two times as safe? Maybe you want to lease it for 2 years or something. But I mean, that's amazing technology. So yeah. We are NVIDIA is in the cutting edge of that. It's a great company. They just started to pay a dividend last year, very, very small. I expect great things in the future for NVIDIA.
That's awesome. Great way to wrap it up. Thank you, Wesley, so much for joining me. Again, let me get to it one more time. ArmadaAdvisors.com or call 850-497-6167. Huge thank you to Wesley for joining me this morning on Pep Talk. Can't wait to talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good day.